Before I read today's scripture lesson from Acts chapter 2, let me provide a little bit of context. 400 years before Jesus' birth, the prophet Joel foresaw that one day God would liberally pour out the Holy Spirit into the lives of people. And then Jesus promised his disciples that once he ascended to the Father, he would send them the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're reading about today in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. According to the book of Acts, the very last words that Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven were, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Did you catch that? Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit came upon those disciples, they would receive power. Now, the Greek word there is dynamis, which is where we get our words dynamic and dynamite from. The dictionary defines power as the ability to do something or act in a particular way. In this case, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would empower the disciples to bear witness to him, to reveal his kingdom of love and grace to the world. And that's exactly what we see happening in today's scripture reading. According to Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, the Spirit manifested as wind and fire. And suddenly, the Spirit-filled disciples were empowered to speak in languages they had never learned. And so, people who gathered from all over the region for the Jewish celebration of Pentecost were able to hear these disciples bear witness to Jesus in their own language. On that day, the story says, 3,000 people heard the good news of God's love proclaimed, and they put their faith in the risen Christ. Friends, this is why so many people call Pentecost the birthday of the church. It was like a spiritual big bang, which set in motion the global expansion of the gospel, an expansion that now includes you and me. The creation story in Genesis says that God took the dust of the ground, formed it into a human shape, and breathed the Spirit into it to bring humanity to life. According to the story, the Spirit enlivens us. We can think about it like this radio. Without the battery, it can't do much. But when I put the battery in, suddenly it's empowered. It's enlivened to play music or report the news. Now, in today's scripture reading, the disciples were empowered to speak in the known languages of that region in order to bear witness to Jesus. Not long after this, some disciples were empowered to speak in languages unknown in this world, something called glossolalia, or speaking in tongues. Now, I know people who have this spiritual gift, and I don't understand it, nor do I understand what they're saying when they speak in tongues. But I want to suggest to you that every one of us has been gifted with a language that bears witness to Jesus. Just as my radio can play classical music, country, jazz, rock and roll, and talk radio, we, as the body of Christ, have been gifted with a variety of languages to bear witness to Jesus. Some of us are preachers. We love to open Scripture and proclaim what it means, what it says about God, and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Others of us are encouragers, people who have been gifted with the language to come alongside others in difficult times and to build them up, support, and embolden them. Others of us are prayers, gifted with the ability to hear the needs of others and lift them up to God in such a way that the person in need feels as if they've been seen and heard by God. Others of us have the language of service, people who proclaim the love and grace of God by practically addressing the needs of others, people who know that sometimes actions really do speak louder than words. Now, these are just a few of the various Spirit-inspired languages that we've been given so that we might bear witness to Jesus. You're wondering what that might look like in real life? Watch this.
Not long ago, Dave Palazzolo of Salt Lake City, Utah, got one of those smart security cameras. And almost immediately, it captured a trespasser on his driveway.
You get the alert and you kind of have an immediate sense of anxiety. Oh, someone's going to do harm to me.
That imminent threat? A four-year-old on a joyride. Every night, like clockwork.
Ping, person at driveway, and you're like, who is it? Oh, it's just that kid again. You're interrupting my Netflix.
How old are you?
I'm almost 50.
You're a little young to be doing the whole get off my lawn thing.
I know, right?
But Dave said something had to be done. So under the cover of darkness, he went out on his driveway and wrote a message to the boy that basically said, kid, you win. The next day,
you can almost see the look on his face when he gets it, and then he just charges into it.
This was in June, and from that day to now, Dave's driveway racetrack has remained. Whenever weather washes it away, he simply draws another. He even built this contraption to keep the line straight and now researches famous race courses for track authenticity. The guy really is serious about his sidewalk chalk.
Make sure I get the intersection right.
You know, there's a chance you're more into this now than he is.
It's entirely possible.
Actually, let's call it a draw.
This is a new one, Dad.
This is Quinn, discovering Dave's latest creation. You should know, before the security camera went off that first time, Dave had never met Quinn or his family. Yet all summer, he has been helping to raise the boy in this small way.
It's been amazing.
Quinn's dad, Josh.
Just so we can be a part of something like that, that we can see the good side of humanity. Feels good.
Oh, you're totally beating me.
There are a lot of great dads out there. But the true measure of a man is not how he raises his own kids. It's how he raises the village.
You totally won.
Steve Hartman, CBS News, on the road.
Isn't that an awesome story? It reminds me of a group of guys that I knew in another church that I used to serve. They were talking one day about how they could share the love of Jesus, and one of the men said that earlier that day, he had seen a child's bike that someone had put out on the curb to be taken to the garbage dump. And he thought what a waste it was to throw a bike away just because their child had outgrown it, when there were other kids in the area who would love to have a bike, but simply couldn't afford one. And that's the day that the bike ministry was born. These guys have now repaired and repurposed literally thousands of bikes and gotten them into the hands of kids in need. And while some of these guys would say that they are uncomfortable talking about Jesus, in the very next breath, they'll tell you story after story about how giving a child a bike has opened spiritual conversation with grateful parents. As one of the guys put it, service is our love language. So what's your language? What language has the Spirit gifted you so that you might bear witness to Jesus? Or perhaps you're one of those extraordinary people that happens to be bilingual or even multilingual, fluent in multiple languages that bear witness to Jesus. That's awesome. But if you don't know what your language is, that's okay too. It's never too late to learn. And it just takes a little dialing in. If I turn that radio on, I can spin that dial slowly and pick up all sorts of stations until I find one that feels right. And that's really what we're teaching you to do, or we're teaching you to do during our Lenten series called Dwelling. You remember that? We talked about learning how to dwell with God, to be still and to listen. So let me encourage you to dust off those skills if you've gotten out of practice. This week, spend a little time talking to and listening to the Spirit, asking what language you've been given to bear witness to the love that you know in Jesus. Because the world still needs people who will bear witness to God's love revealed in Jesus in the language with which you've been gifted. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe deeply into each of us and enliven us. Empower us as witnesses in a world that needs to know your love and your life. Enlighten us, revealing to each of us the unique ways in which you've gifted us to bear witness to our neighbor. And then embolden us to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in all that we do and all that we say. We ask all of this in the strong name of Christ, and together all God's people said, Amen.